Hey everybody, Simon Rentner here. Before we get to our program with Jason Linder, we have a special announcement. WBGO is celebrating its 40th birthday bash at this year's Winter Jazz Festival at SOB's on Friday, January 11th. We've put together an all-star lineup, all kinds of exciting music, a rare performance from the guitarist Kurt Rosenwinkel, our very own DJ brother Mr. Christian McBride's DJ project, and WBGO's very own rhythm review host Felix Hernandez will get everybody dancing. Plus, we shine a light on a newcomer, the pianist, singer-songwriter Alina Injabarian from Armenia, and also signed to the Ground Up Music label, will make an appearance. You can get discount tickets half price and learn more information about our WBGO 40th anniversary concert at SOB's January 11th by going to wbgo.org/events. Right here, we're checking out an interlude, a miniature by the electronics synth sound designer, pianist and arranger, Jason Linder. When Jason became embedded in New York's jazz scene during the mid-90s, he led an underground jazz big band. Now we fast forward 30 years to the present, today. He's now paving the way in experimental forms of jazz, electronica, with the same renegade spirit. Today we speak to him about his third release with his band Now Versus Now, now a couple of years removed with his time with the great David Bowie. And by my ears, his sound seems to be changing more radically now than ever before. Our conversation with Jason Linder is coming your way just before he comes to New York City's Winter Jazz Festival at the Mercury Lounge on Saturday, January 12th. Thanks for checking in. It gives me great pleasure to welcome the pianist, keyboardist, synthesizer, wizard on the checkout to play this new music, The Buffering Cocoon, that just came out. We've been doing this for a long time together, so I can't believe we actually haven't sat down, just the two of us, to talk about your music. So This might be a first. Why did it take so long?
Well, there have been long interims between my releases, and my previous one was very DIY, Earth Analog.
With Now Versus
with
Now.
With Now Versus Now.
And Juliana was still with you at that point, right?
Yes.
Mark Juliana, the drummer.
Mr. Juliana.
Master Juliana.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Tyson. He has taken the chair.
Mark, at that time, was beginning the world of Meliana with Brad and creating that beautiful music, and he was also having a baby. So 2014 was a really special and busy and domestic year for Mark Juliana.
And yourself, because that's when you were getting involved with David Bowie, right?
14 was when he would have come to see us play, but I still hadn't met him at that time.
Okay.
Until we went into the studio in 2015.
So let's just hear a little bit of this. There's a lot of music to get to, so we'll just go with Cloud Fishing.
All right. Enjoy. Thank you.
Cloud Fishing from Now Versus Now, the Buffering Cocoon. You've eliminated your name completely from the ensemble, I hear. You don't want Jason Linder, Now Versus Now. You just want Now Versus Now.
Yeah, that's something. I mean, the first release of the band was called Jason Linder Gives You Now Versus Now, because Michelle Indigiucello came up with that idea. I thought it was very clear and easy and simple, you know, simply put. But after that, Earth Analog and the Buffering Cocoon are just Now Versus Now. Promoters in the jazz world, when we try to book shows, they're not always crazy about the idea of just the band name, because I suppose my name has something attached to it where, that maybe they'll be able to count on more people recognizing the name and then coming out to the shows. But if it's just Now Versus Now, then they have, you know, all that kind of stuff. First of all, no one could spell my last name correctly because it's from another language. It's a German name, Lindner. It's hard to say.
Like Rentner.
It doesn't roll
my
off.
Last name's
yes,
German as
it
well.
Doesn't, brother. It doesn't roll off the tongue, you know.
Not only were you born in Brooklyn and lived here for so long.
Well, I have a confession. I wasn't born in Brooklyn. I was born at the Army Base Hospital at West Point, New York, because my dad was in the Army Band in 1973 when I was born. But grew up in Bay Ridge.
Okay.
A few months later, I was back in the saddle.
Now Versus Now. I've never actually asked you about this. It's like the present fighting the present.
One moment versus another moment. Because whenever you say now, it's an immeasurable.
Immeasurable.
Right? A moment is not really measurable. So now versus now, every time you say the second now, millions of moments just pass. So that's kind of how I think about it.
Which also implies you have all of these choices to make, and there's all these directions to go in, and you are, as essentially an improviser, you are making that calculation.
As an improviser, as a musician, but it's like life, you know, we're just always improvising, and I don't know what I'm going to say in the next minute, and neither, you probably might have an idea of what you're going to ask me, but you don't know how it's going to go.
Buffering Cocoon, you now have to unpack the title of the record.
I like titles that are open to interpretation and that can have different meanings. Earth Analog, for example, is a planet which has conditions biologically similar to that of planet Earth. That's the technical term for an Earth analog. It's like a copy of Earth. An analog is kind of a copy, but Earth Analog could also refer to the fact that we mixed on an analog board. I played all analog synths. So for me, that I liked that double meaning. I was attracted to that kind of thing for that title. And the Buffering Cocoon has several meanings. I don't even know what it means, actually. A dear departed friend actually said the music sounds like a buffering cocoon. And that's where the title came from.
All right, so Jason Linder, what is the Earth Analog sound that kicks off the Buffering Cocoon? We hear a cassette. We hear you put in something.
Oh yeah, that's the sound of someone putting in a cassette in a cassette player, pressing rewind, stop, and pressing play, which is a sound that I miss very much.
Let's continue on with this recording, the Buffering Cocoon. Let's get straight to what you sort of framed as the lead single of the project Motion Potion. What I'm hearing on this recording, and what my wife aptly pointed out, was you are the future of the jazz piano trio, in a sense. You have made some excellent traditional acoustic piano trio records in the past. In fact, I might actually want to play a little excerpt of it.
Okay, there was the collective trio with Julia Valle and Mark Aita.
That's the record.
Called 1, 2, 3, etc.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite Jason Linder records.
Yeah, it's not totally a Jason Linder record. We purposely put our three names. It's absolutely a collective record.
So let's just hear a little bit from this 2001 recording just to see what you sounded like then, or the music you were at least playing then, and
okay,
what you
are
making
you
now. I'm going to play Don't Worry About a Thing.
Okay, sure.
We just heard 1, 2, 3, etc., where Jason Linder was playing in a traditional piano trio setting. And now we have moved into the future of 2018, almost 20 years later, again a trio with a much different sound. How did we get here?
I've never felt like I wanted to think or that I'd naturally thought of myself as a pianist. I think more as an arranger and a composer. So,
which is why you boldly came out with your debut with a big band record.
That was my band at the time, and that's how I kind of, you know, cut my teeth in composition at that time, and that was my experimental project at the time, you know. And I've always been attracted to big band for the sheer breadth of sound. That, you know, just filling a room with sound, just those trumpets, those horns, the brass, just like, it's powerful. I've always been attracted to powerful sounds, and synthesizers are powerful, and electricity is powerful. I find myself attracted to that, to filling a room with electric sound, in the same way that I was excited in my early 20s with the big band. So for me, it's sort of part of the same thing, and it's textural and it's atmospheric and
super dynamic.
Yes,
let's get into the dynamism further of this record dichotomy. Jason Linder, we just heard Dichotomy from Now Versus Now, The Buffering Cocoon. Do you get lost into the sound more in this kind of music, playing with your prophets?
For the session, I had the Prophet 6 and Prophet 12.
The two prophets that you are using allow you to get lost into the sound more so than even a big band?
It's a thing like when you're sculpting on a synth, you're sculpting in real time, and it's a different experience. When you're sculpting for a big band arrangement, you're in your head. The result might be, you know, the same in the sense that it's a textural result or it's a sound design. Big band arranging is sound design too. It's just sound design for orchestral instruments. When you're tweaking a synth, you're being led by your ear, actually, and your nervous system and whatever else is being activated by those vibrations and those frequencies. Whereas when you're conceiving of a sound of a big band, of how a passage is going to be sounding, and what should you have the trumpet on top or should you have the soprano sax on top, and how are you gonna pan this out throughout the ensemble? Traditional big bands have, you know, four or five of the same instrument in each section, trumpets, trombones, and then saxophones, and my group was two trumpets, two trombones, and four saxes. I wanted it to be buoyant and still be able to improvise, and I wanted it to feel like a small group. And not have to rely only on big band, on the charts and on the you know, on the sheet music and on the arrangements. If I want to have this one chord, I don't have the five trumpets to play that one chord in this particular register. But there are tricks. You put a trumpet on top, and then depending on how you voice the instruments in that chord, it can give the illusion that it's five trumpets when in fact it's, you know, a trumpet, an alto, a tenor, a trombone, etc.
Jason Linder here talking about his musical evolution to now The Buffering Cocoon, released in 2018 with his ensemble Now Versus Now. How do you say your bass names, player? I always mess this up.
Panayotis Andreou. with the Greek accent.
I can only imagine that he is also the one that introduced this Greek traditional song to the record.
Indubitably did. He absolutely did. Pergamos, I like the sound of this mode, this particular Greek mode that's being used in this song. Da, 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 da. But the rhythm is interesting. It's a 9. So if you all count along, 7, 8, it's really slow. 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2. That's the rhythm of the whole song. And it's really cool.
It's kind of hypnotic.
It's very hypnotic.
It's almost so slow, and it takes so long to develop that it just puts you under a spell.
Yeah. You went under a spell. Those ancient rhythms have magic.
Obviously, the music that you're making here is great. It's really fitting into a category that can't be categorized, which seems to be a trend in modern music, period. Also, a kind of proclamation on, as Jason Linder, the individual artist, discovering your sound.
It's always changing, I think. I wouldn't have imagined playing the music I play 10 years earlier. I never would have imagined making a record like this. So it's always changing. You know, some of my favorite artists are like that, and they just keep evolving. David Bowie is a great example of that. I'm just so thankful to have worked with two very evolving artists that I really like very much, like Michelle and Andeguiocello, very evolving artist. Every record sounds different. Her style evolves, her voice is just incredible. Every record is a work of art, is a masterpiece. And David Bowie, the same. I mean, from iconic classics that are anthemic, epic balladry, and just amazing songwriting, amazing lyricism. And what occurred to me checking out David Bowie's catalog, super diverse catalog, it's just he's an experimental artist, and we experienced that in the studio with him. He was absolutely experimental, but also achieved pop status. And you know, Nile Rodgers said pop music is any genre, it's just about numbers, it's just about, you know, when you sell enough, it doesn't matter what genre you were, you become a pop artist, you know?
I do think that the year of 2015 and early 2016, when you released Black Star with David Bowie, was kind of a really interesting time period for jazz as a genre, because while you're doing your thing with David Bowie, Kendrick yeah. Lamar was doing his thing with jazz musicians in LA,
yeah.
making a pop record with all these jazz players. And then you also had Flying Lotus doing what he's doing, and he making his only jazz record, You're Dead. It was like this one moment where jazz became popular in a weird way.
I don't know if it's the reverse, but David Bowie and Tony Visconti were very influenced by those artists you just mentioned. So, and also D'Angelo's second release. So it's circular. My favorite period in recorded music history is probably the late 70s, because I feel like that was the most experimental time in recording history, just because I mean, by that time, it wasn't like back in the 40s or 50s in the jazz era when there weren't that many different kinds of music being recorded. I mean, by the 70s, rock and roll, funk, and then technology was
just starting,
so all the jazz musicians were playing electronic instruments. And I've spoken to people who've lived and gone to shows in that era, and you could see a pop show, but it had improvisation, it had jazz, it had visuals, it was psychedelic, it was, you know, it was like everything clicked into that one moment in time. The 80s wasn't like that. The 60s wasn't really like that yet. You know, it was a friend of mine also said the 70s is the pinnacle of the 60s. You know, like, it's when the 60s came to a head.
When all the ideas finally worked itself out.
I guess
in a way.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I think today we're experiencing something like that.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, let's listen to your technology. I did want to feature one of my favorite, if not my favorite, composition on the record, Accelerating Returns.
Oh, is that one of your favorites?
It is, actually.
Ray Kurzweil, Accelerating Returns. It has to do with how quickly technology exponentially develops. So Accelerating Returns is the theory after which that previous theory becomes, the development becomes so fast that the mathematics behind that previous theory just discontinue.
Got it.
You need a new theory. You need a new thing. Accelerating Returns.
The law of accelerating returns. I feel like this concept might reflect this precarious time we live in. As an artist, as a programmer like myself, the music is evolving so rapidly right now that it's difficult for radio stations like WBGO and artistic directors at major concert halls have a difficult time finding where this music fits.
I think a lot of people are set in their ways, and, you know, I mean, we know of the special programmers of festivals around the world that actually pay attention to what's going on and actually do the research and do the work and find out which artists are really doing something creative. But Simon, it's people like you that are helping evolving artists to still have a voice on the air. So thank you. That's amazing. But the good thing, we're living in the cross section of electronic music being at its most popular ever and basically being the standard in a lot of genres in pop. We're living in a new cross section of electronic music and jazz, we're living in the cross-section of electronic music and experimental music. Experimentalism is now valued presently. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to milk this moment for everything it's worth, because that is really special that that is valued. And there's an audience for it. And I think Now Versus Now might benefit by being in that market.
Let's go out with the miniature that I just wanted to keep going all day long. This is Squoosh. Jason Linder, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
You are welcome. My sister titled that Squoosh.
Oh, it's Squoosh, not
Squoosh. It's not Squoosh. It's Squoosh. And you have to say it with a Bay Ridge accent. Squoosh.
Jason, thank you. Squoosh from the synth artist Jason Linder on his latest recording, Now Versus Now, The Buffering Cocoon. And make sure to check him out at this year's Winter Jazz Festival coming to New York City on January 12th at the Mercury Lounge. Let's give a special shout out to our production assistant, Anthony Nieves. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, the Checkout from WBGO, our handle at Checkout Jazz. And if you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, give us a review while you're at it. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out. Perfect symmetrical shapes and slip and slide.